Hello and welcome to Life Divine. This is your host Vanessa, and today we are having Marie Atfield on the podcast for a little interview on her journey of her spiritual awakening and lifestyle and the divine feminine. You can follow her on Instagram under @soulfullymarie. I will leave this in the show notes. We had a little bit of difficulties the first times connecting, but third time's the charm. It all worked out. And I'll let you enjoy that interview now. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Vanessa.
So third time's the charm. Let's try again.
Yeah.
I feel lucky this time.
Hopefully.
All right. Let's try again. So we have both something in common. Apparently, you read The Power of Now, and this is how you started on your spiritual journey. Comment on that a bit.
Yes. So The Power of Now, the book by Eckhart Tolle, that was a book that I found a few years ago when I was really struggling with depression and anxiety. And I don't remember how I came across that book. I found it, I think, somewhere in the house. And it really introduced me to the idea that not my thoughts and my negative emotions that I was experiencing, and it was really a completely new way of thinking that I had never come across before that. So at the time I was really not spiritual and I was not connected to my heart, and so it was a completely fascinating new way of thinking, and that just changed my life. That book really changed my life. I started to be better able at detaching from my thoughts and my emotions. And I think it's the same with a lot of people that started their spiritual journey. They found that book and it transformed them. It really has changed a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, for sure. Because I remember when I was reading it, the first time was many years ago in Australia, actually. I was still on tour. And it actually enabled me to have 2 weeks continuously without having any thoughts. So, I mean, it was really, really intense for me. Yeah. Wow. It was very, very intense. And these days, so now when I read books that are written by enlightened or awakened beings, I see the energy descending. So it's definitely, these books do something with you. They change your level of consciousness.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah.
And even just watching, I find that watching a video of one of these people, like Muji, for example, just watching them speak, there's this energy that I feel from them. Yeah. It's hard to describe, but I really do believe that when someone writes a quote or when they make a video, they are sharing their frequency, that others can feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it goes for everything. I mean, for people who are loving and kind, you get that sort of energy. And then people who are very violent or aggressive, you also can feel this sort of energy even when watching movies. I mean, very intense. It's also got something to do with egoic patterns, actually. So the more ego related a person is, the more aggressive and violent their frequency is, I've come to realize.
And especially for people who are very, very extra sensitive, or people who are empaths, they really feel things a lot more. And so they really have to be very careful what they consume. And even the people that they are physically close to, or what media they consume, it really can affect your energy really very, very
fast. Absolutely. Yeah, everything you put into yourself, and it's not just food, has a really, really large impact on your psyche. And it's basically, we are continuously influenced by everything. So I started, I started unfollowing quite a lot of people I had on my social media feeds when this started happening for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. I find that I'm very careful about consuming a lot of energy through social media. So I do follow a lot of beautiful people that inspire me, but I'm very cautious about, I don't want to follow too many because it's just so much energy. And social media is a form of energy exchange. It's, as you said, it's not just food. It's also through social media, and it's through what media we consume. There's so many ways that we can consume and transfer our energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this goes via messages, via email, social media. I spend very minimalistic amounts of time on social media, I have to say. I kind of just check. I do my post, I check, and then I answer, and then I go off for the rest of the day most times, unless I have to do another post.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a very wise way to do
it. Well, it took me a long time to build up that willpower. It's very addictive, I have to say. Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So
it takes a lot of discipline for sure.
yeah, for sure. You kind of have to build that up. But I mean, I've come to realize that there's, you know, the ego is really attached to drama and also feeling other people's feelings and all this kind of stuff. We kind of always validate ourselves. And social media is very much that we validate our ego by, you know, pretending we're that or we're that. It doesn't matter what we are. So that's why it's so addictive.
I have definitely noticed that. Even, you know, within the spiritual communities, there's still a lot of people that are projecting every opinion that they, you know, they can't really hold their energy in and really sit with it. So they project it through social media. So that's why it's very important that we have the discipline to not be constantly absorbing everyone's energies, and maybe just, as you said, going on just to post, reply to messages, just look at a few inspiring posts and then leave it at that.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot, that the spiritual communities are very often still a part of, I call it the matrix, actually. So it's still a part of an illusion where people also, I mean, not consciously, but subconsciously pretend something they're not. So I was very disappointed when I really started seeing this. But it happens a lot with people who are very popular on Instagram. We've talked about this a little bit. So it's very disappointing.
This is definitely something I have experienced this year. And I 100% I relate to that. I have had that discovery that certain people that are very, very popular and they are influencing a lot of people and they're looked up to by so many people, they're not who they portray themselves as. And in fact, some people that are having sessions with these people, they're ending up traumatized because they're receiving very ill advice and they're just having a terrible experience with this person that portrays themselves as loving and enlightened, but they're really still in their ego and they're still quite sometimes narcissistic. So we really have to be careful who we follow and not idolize anyone. No matter how enlightened they seem, it's okay to have a guru or a teacher to guide us, but we can't be seeing anyone as perfect or, you know, just be very cautious about that.
Yeah, for sure. But I do feel that, you know, whoever makes these experiences, and you and I both have experienced these sort of things, it's for us to understand why we've undergone this experience. And there's a great enlightened teacher, well, she's dead now, so Irina Tweedy, Miss Tweedy, Sufi teacher, and she was interviewed once, and the host asked her, well, Mrs. Tweedy, what about people who end up with a bad guru? And she said, in essence, there is no bad gurus. It's just, you know, that's then your path, the path you had to take. That's your karma you had to live out. And it's usually for us to learn. I feel like these sort of experiences really show a person how not to behave.
And yes, then, definitely.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I feel that when we experience such things that really hurt us or really can cause all this wounding in us, it's really a great way to learn how to do better and how to avoid being like that, as you said, how to avoid doing the same as such people that are not really coming from their heart. And I love to write about that in some of my quotes. I truly feel that going through our suffering is, if we choose to see it that way, it is actually a great learning experience, and we come out stronger, we come out wiser.
Yes, absolutely. It really also our egoic patterns, I would say, because sometimes there's still a resonance field within us, might be very subtle at a certain point, but I feel that, you know, we all have this tendency to sometimes be megalomaniac or, you know, I like to exaggerate still sometimes, and it's not really great. It's gotten better, but these people are there to show us what's not okay with us also inside. I feel it's a really, really good way to advance also on your spiritual path.
Yes, I totally agree.
So you said to me you've done, you were studying before you started your spiritual journey. Yes. What were you studying? And you said you quit because you felt like it wasn't really valuable anymore.
Yes, so I was at university. I was studying. I actually switched a lot of times because I didn't know what I really wanted to do, and I really didn't know myself well enough at that time. So I had started off studying Japanese, and then I switched to more health-focused studies. So I chose to do nutrition. But I really felt like the nutrition advice, the nutrition knowledge I was learning, it was not very aligned with my, at the time, vegan beliefs. And I noticed that a lot of these food industries, they really partner with these educational institutions, and they do influence what they're teaching their students.
Wow.
And I really, yes, I remember one class we had someone come in from a meat factory, and he was trying to get students to volunteer to work with them. And I was a little bit shocked because I realized that, you know, even this teacher that I emailed and I asked her, do you teach much about veganism in the course? And she had no idea about it. She had quite a negative opinion about it. And I realized that there's not really much focus on plant-based diet in that course. And I do feel that educational institutions, they do work with the food industries a little bit. So I was very skeptical at that point. And I decided, okay, I would love to study something to do with natural health. And so I signed up to this natural health college in my city, and I just I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly, but I signed up for a course that introduces you to complementary medicine. And from there, this has really deepened my spiritual journey. Everything I've learned in that course about homeopathy and naturopathy and Chinese medicine, it's been so much more valuable to me than what I was learning before, and much more aligned with my truth, really.
Wow. That's actually very courageous also to say, you know, I don't know myself, I don't know what I'm doing, and then to change direction. Yes. Yeah. I'm a bit, I'm not surprised about this, what you're saying with the food industry pairing with universities or something like this, but I'm still a little shocked to actually hear it from a person who's made this experience. I feel like that.
From what I have been studying in my personal study, I love to look into this stuff and research about these truths.
Yeah.
I can say now more confidently, I do feel that this is going on, and we do have to be careful what education that we choose to take on, because there is indoctrination going on. Mm-hmm. There is false information out there. So we do have to be careful about that. But for me personally, I feel so much happier studying about natural health than what I was doing before, because that's who I am. I love holistic health and natural living.
Well, I think it's a part of naturally growing up. I mean, I was lucky, my parents are homeopath, so I've never actually taken an allopathic medicine, so I'm not vaccinated. I guess that's the statement these days, but was because my brother had really severe problems when he was very, very young with vaccinations, and my mom was very sick from the allopathic medicine. So I feel very lucky that I've grown up like this. I can understand the journey. Yeah.
That's very interesting. I love homeopathy as well. And I don't know a lot of people that actually know about it and that use it. So that's very interesting that you mention your parents there.
Yeah, well, it's a bit bigger in Germany because it comes from Germany, from Hahnemann. So it's a bit more popular. But it's interesting because they're trying to shut it down. So the allopathic medical faculties and doctors trying to get rid of it. So they actually say, you know, once in a few months there has been a scandal with a homeopathic practitioner or something like this. I mean, I don't really believe in this. So it's quite sad, actually. Because I feel like a lot of people are going back to this natural form of health, and they're looking. And now I feel like we're going counter that again a little bit with what's happening globally.
Yes, this sounds a lot like this has been going on for quite a while now. You know, natural health was the main form of, well, natural medicine was the main form of medicine before maybe 100 or so years ago, and then all of a sudden it was really pushed aside and discriminated against, and it makes you think, you know, is there an agenda to that?
Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty sure there is one. Seeing what's happening in Germany with the homeopathy fraction against the medical fraction. I do feel that, you know, medical science has its place. Like if you break a bone, please go and get it fixed. But I often feel like, I mean, during this awakening process, I've had and still have a lot of physical issues. And I've been to a doctor quite a few times because I was a bit freaked out. And they could never really find anything. And I felt really helpless. Like I felt it was so limited. And I think a lot of people feel like this. It's kind of like you go somewhere and you want to get help, and then there's no solution for it. So I found that experience also very interesting. So now you said you've taken time off, like you're not studying right now. Was this for a special reason? Or something you had planned on?
So I was kind of pushed into this because I was actually doing a certificate. So I was completing my certificate in complementary medicine. And all of a sudden, I started to experience these gut problems, like problems in my colon area and just a lot of nausea. And I was quite ill. So I was really pushed at that point to just take a step back and focus on my health. And I was not sure what I wanted to specialize in my studies anyway, because I really want to do either naturopathy or Ayurveda or something like that, but I was not sure exactly what to choose. So I thought maybe this is a chance for me to just focus on my health and give myself time to just be with myself and let the answer come. And so I have been focusing on my health. I've been seeing a naturopath, doing my own research. I'm reading Dr. Arnold Ehret's books about the mucusless diet and just doing a lot of research and just focusing on that. And hopefully, I'm planning to go back to college maybe next year and do a degree in something that I choose to specialize in. And I actually have had these digestive issues before, about a decade ago. And so I find it very interesting that it's coming up again. It's as if it's something that is unresolved, unhealed in me that's really wanting to come out and be healed and really sat with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, sounds like what I had. I had this many years ago. I was doing a job in the Ukraine and got really stomach sick. I know by now it was partial Kundalini awakening. So when she's the there's these two chakras, there's the navel chakra, but then there's also a chakra in between the rib cage where the sternum ends. And this is usually the chakra that gets blocked. Those two get blocked quite frequently. And when they're not fully open, you experience all these digestive issues, and it takes a really, really long time to heal, I have to say. I'm still working with this a lot, but it's very common. I've seen in a lot of women, it's kind of like you cannot stomach the hardness of life, I feel.
Yes, and it definitely sounds like that because at the time I was in a very toxic relationship and I was under a lot of stress, and that relationship was it actually helped me to notice that there was a voice in me that wanted to come out more. And in that relationship, I felt very suppressed. And I felt like whenever I would express my emotions and my truth, I would get gaslit back. So I can see how my digestive problems were relating to that issue coming up. And I do really feel that this is something a lot of struggle with, that feminine in them that feels it's been suppressed by the wounded masculine. And when they have this issue, it really manifests physically, especially in the digestive problems.
Yeah, I really understand this. Makes a lot of sense to me. Maybe do you want to explain this expression gaslighting? I didn't know this until you wrote this to me.
Yeah, so gaslighting is when say you say to someone, I'm feeling upset about something, or I want to talk about something. And then in response, the other person tells you, there's no problem, you're overreacting, or you're being too emotional. They try to skew the reality a little bit. So then you start to question yourself and you ask yourself, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe, you know, I don't trust my gut feeling about this. So it's actually very stressful to experience, and it's quite traumatizing because you really start to not trust your inner voice.
Yeah.
Unless you have a very strong connection to your intuition, and you can tell that, no, just because someone's telling me this doesn't mean that it's true. But for people like me, who at the time were still finding their voice and still learning how to listen to my body, it's very hard in that situation to see what's really going on and see that, in fact, you're actually getting gaslit. And it's not always intentional by the other person. They're not necessarily trying to be bad. They're very disconnected from their heart, and they're not very good at dealing with emotions usually. So that's usually why it happens, because they want to avoid conflict and they want to avoid going into the painful emotions that you want to talk about with them. So it really helps to understand, kind of have a little bit of compassion and understand why the other person is behaving like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've experienced this also myself, so we have a lot of things in common. And it makes you a little feeling like you're a little crazy, I have to say. I've really, really experienced this. I've experienced this twice, actually. But it's got something to do, basically, when you're more spiritually in tune and you start becoming maybe clairvoyant and more clairsentient, it's basically, in high magic, they talk about this, it's basically your microcosm, so your auric field is not fully clear yet, like your chakras are not fully cleared. So you start being, it's a form of manipulation, I would say, even if it's subconscious from the other person, of course. And then what plays into that is also the macrocosm, so the influences from the planets that you are under during time, and also the phase you're in. So usually an astrologer would look at that, that maybe during that time, a certain planet, sounds like Saturn, actually, what you're going through, that Saturn has become the dominant planet again, and that's very much our karmic planet, basically. So in high magic, there's a lot of techniques that you work with to get rid of these influences and to have a more clearer intuition and a clearer shot in life.
Yes, I agree. I actually received a Vedic astrology reading earlier this year, and it helped me to understand what is really going on with my life at the moment with these health issues and the toxic relationships, because this was not the only relationship I had been in that I had experienced that. I've actually been through quite a few relationships where I've experienced that I didn't feel seen, and I didn't feel that I could express my truth because the other person was not able to really receive it without reacting. So I definitely love Vedic astrology, and I do agree that I was at a point in my life where a lot was going on astrologically. Yeah. It was really manifesting in my life.
Yeah, it's like, we repeat these patterns through our lifetime. So that's very interesting. Once we've experienced such a relationship, It's like a woman who always marries alcoholics, right? You always get into the same patterns again. And then obviously these planetary conflicts or oppositions are really playing a very large part in these sort of setups.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the stomach issues. I still have this year as well, I have to say. Yeah. But I also feel that this year, I mean, I've seen this psychically. There's a lot of light coming down this year. So I feel like a lot of issues I've had before have come back like 10 years ago. And I was a bit freaked out, I have to say, because I thought, my goodness, I thought I transcended this, but apparently not.
Exactly the same for me. I had these gut issues like 10 or 9 years ago.
Yes,
and they went away, and I never knew why they went away. They just stopped all of a sudden, and now they came back this year.
Yes, yeah,
and yeah.
I feel though, when you're an empath, you're kind of transcending a lot of stuff for a lot of people. And I sometimes, you know, I'm very exhausted. It's actually happening even when I don't talk to people. Like, I mean, I live on my own by now, but it's happening basically the more light your body is having, the more you transcend for other people. That also creates some stomach issues, I've come to realize.
Definitely.
It's very unpleasant.
That.
So then after this relationship that you've had, well, maybe let me ask, how did you get out of it? Because it's kind of hard in a sense to get out of these sort of relationships.
Yes, it's very hard. And, you know, sometimes people on the outside, they can see that it's not healthy. But when you're in the relationship, it's much harder. You know, it's not simple to leave. But for me personally, I didn't leave right away. So I stayed in the relationship because I tried to have compassion for the other person, and I tried to really talk it through with them and try to resolve the issues, not in a way where I was being a doormat and staying in an abusive relationship, but I was trying to just really talk it through with them and understand their wounds and be very mindful about that and compassionate. But the reason that I left was because the toxicity, it just got worse and worse and worse, as if I was really being pushed, really, really pushed to leave. And I was experiencing very intense physical pain that was coming up, and I felt like I needed to scream. I was so angry. Yeah. This anger was coming through me, and it was very painful for me to stay in that relationship. And I just had this very strong intuitive knowing that that this is not okay for me, and that this voice wants to come out. I want to stand up for myself. And I really felt like this was something to do with the feminine being suppressed in past lifetimes, and it wants to come out and really just be free and really express herself and be loved. So eventually I communicated to this person that, you know what, I'm not feeling happy, I'm feeling all this pain, and I'm choosing to leave, and I'm choosing to find what I feel is more aligned for me. And I really told them exactly how I felt, and then cut it off. Just cut it off. But it can take a long time to reach that point where you feel that you can just walk away, because it's not always easy to walk away, even if you know something is not right for you. So it's important to have patience with yourself, because sometimes people, they're not ready to leave. So it's not always that simple. Yeah. But I really listened to what my body was communicating to me and what my intuition was telling me, and I chose to just trust in that instead of what he was saying to me and what mm-hmm. anyone was saying to me. And I think that's very important for people to do.
Absolutely. I feel that's become more important these days, that most people don't really listen to their intuition. Yeah, absolutely. It's very courageous. Yeah. So, and then you got into this divine feminine. Let's maybe talk a little bit about that. So did that happen during that time, or did it come out more afterwards?
I was actually interested in the topic of divine feminine before I even met this person.
Right.
But it was from my experience of being in that relationship that really triggered this deeper connection with the feminine and this deeper connection with Source, with the beloved. And it was from that I started to write, and I started to express what I was learning and what I was feeling. And I'm so grateful, because that relationship, I needed that, because it really pushed me to really strengthen my connection to the divine feminine. So even though I was already into it before, it was after that relationship that I really felt a much stronger connection to the divine feminine.
Beautiful. Wow. So it's really true that sometimes we go through a lot of troubles and hardship in order then to rise like the phoenix from the ashes, I would say. Sounds like it. Yeah.
Well, that's been my experience. Yeah. Definitely. I tend to have to go through extreme traumas yes. and sufferings to really come out. It's like this massive up and down experience yeah. for me.
Yeah, I have this as well. It's actually really good to hear, to be honest, because sometimes I think, oh, maybe it's me, but I mean, I have a few students who have that as well. I think it's kind of, this partial passiveness inside that we've learned through many lifetimes, and obviously also the conscious collective, the feminine conscious collective, that has been suppressed. And then you really need to work on these things in order to transcend that and to move into a different way of being in your life as in this female body. I mean, for me personally, I can say that partially I still sometimes have moments that I don't want to be here. So I think it's also got something to do with this. So I'm really working with that a lot, where this is coming from. Partially, I know it's the global situation and feeling all this pain. But partially, I know it's from past lifetimes, also suppression. Yeah.
Yes, I'm also working through those feelings as well.
Wow.
I think a lot of people are at this point with what's going on, but I do experience that. And I think it's normal, because I think people like us really feel out of place in this world.
Yeah.
And feel like the way the world is, it's not ideal. There's a different way, a different world that I envision, and I feel it in my heart, but it's not yet manifested. Yeah. It's not what I'm seeing in my external.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're not there yet. Well, I remember when this thing happened with the 2 weeks of no thoughts back in Australia with the power of now. I had visions of the future of how the planet would look like. And basically, there's only very few people living. And it's nature kind of takes her power back. And most of these really ugly buildings will not exist anymore. Everything will be grown over. And it will be a more compassionate life, more spiritually centered, people will do what they're actually good at and what they love, instead of having to work for a crazy lifestyle, you know, rent. I mean, it's, for me, it's so crazy. I mean, I'm really doing what I love, and yet we all have to struggle through certain setups that are given in this modern world. It's very, very crazy. But the future looks like this. I don't know how long it's going to take.
That's exactly what I envision as well. I feel like it's, to me, very strange and oppressing that we have to work to pay for food and just to pay for these things that should be natural rights. And
absolutely.
I see a very lush world with a lot of nature and a lot of plants and people living in harmony with earth and not having to go to university and having to work, but studying in their own time and just living in flow, living in harmony.
Yeah,
that's the world that I see.
Yeah, same. We do this with the students sometimes, like we create a new world. So we do a meditation and then create a new world. And I feel like the more people do this, the better this will be.
Yes, definitely. I think there's a lot of people that they're not really awake to this different way of living. They kind of just live their lives without thinking that they don't, you know, they don't have to live that way, or they don't question a different world.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely great if more people could really connect to their hearts and really feel into this better world that could be.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Would make things a lot easier. But I feel also, like you said, you know, there's not enough people who are awakened yet. I feel like there's a really large split going on at the moment, where people who are embodying higher frequencies, that are moving along very quick. I feel like the spiritual progress is very, very quick. It started happening last year, and I feel like I can't keep up a lot of times, I have to say. And then there's the other part of the population that is still stuck in these old patterns. I mean, now everybody wants just to go back to normal. And then I'm thinking, well, we haven't learned anything, you know. Don't you realize this situation was there to show you to be, you know, more compassionate, more conscious? But no, everyone wants to go back to the way it was. And it's really heartbreaking for me a lot of times to be in this polar opposite pull, and it's kind of stressful. I feel it's really stressful for my psyche.
It is. I feel that I sometimes feel quite sad because I can see people choosing to go the other way. And even in my last relationship, I felt like you see someone not really living in their potential and not choosing to see. Yeah, it's a little bit heartbreaking, to be honest, and seeing family and friends choosing that way. But I also have a lot of compassion as well, because I can understand why they think the way they do and why they're choosing to live that way. So it's good to have that as well. But it is really hard, and I think a lot of us are really going through a very hard time right now, seeing our friends and family and seeing society, a large chunk of society, just not waking up and seeing what's really going on.
Yeah, I think it's, I feel like it is happening to me as well, that it's, I developed a lot of compassion for people because I feel like they're suffering, and I can see also they're suffering so much. In actuality, they're not very happy. They always hunt after the next thing, and it's very tiring when I watch it also. It was really interesting because last month I was at my parents' and they like going out and eating, and I mean, I went along with it because I know it's a pleasure for them to have me, but it was really strange because I was very grateful that, you know, I'm able to do this, but I felt like, what, you know, what am I doing here? This is like, it doesn't make any sense. And it was really, I mean, and then afterwards you know, we got home and I felt like, okay, that was it. And now they're looking for the next thing already. It's kind of, it never ends. And I realized how much suffering this is. Like, as humans, we're always hunting after the next thing. It's never enough.
Yes, and it's I'm myself, I'm really trying to walk away from that way of living and really do what my heart is saying and be more present and be more slow with things. And it's hard for me because I have family that expect me to quickly get a degree and quickly get a job and do these things that are expected of us because of these societal norms. But my heart is saying I want to slow down and I want to be with myself and I want to do things moment by moment. But it takes a lot of courage to trust that inner voice and to not do what everyone else is doing and to
Absolutely.
do,
Yeah. Yeah, it's very tough. I mean, I've battled with my parents a lot about this as well, because when when I quit the sound engineering, I just couldn't do the job anymore due to the awakening, but also physically, it was very, very demanding. And then, you know, I switched to teaching yoga, and then I realized, okay, I'm undergoing this Kundalini awakening. And then I tried to study a homeopathy degree on the side while teaching and while in this huge transformation. And I felt really burned out, I have to say. So at a certain point, I said, I have to quit. It's just not working because the energy is not the same every day. Like, for example, yesterday I was really, you know, I was very active and there was a lot of stuff happening. And today I woke up and I felt like a truck ran over me. So I realized it's, and yesterday mentally I was absolutely clear. I was on real peak. And today I'm like, yeah, that's, I don't think that's happening today. So I realized I cannot keep a continuous schedule up. This is impossible, and I actually have a feeling I've always been like this. It's not something new. It's just I've pushed myself to do certain things that weren't possible already in the past.
That's exactly the same for me. I really struggle with, I've always struggled when I've been studying in college because we have to do a set amount of study every day. But for me, my energy, it differs by the day and it differs by the hour. So it's really hard to, I don't like that strict structure. I like to just flow and do what feels energetically right for me.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, it sounds like you're really in tune, and I mean, it's tough. The journey's tough, I would say, but I always feel very grateful for this journey. It was a bit of a struggle the first years where I was attached to my old life, and then moving into this new way of being, I do still feel very, very grateful. And I always have this reassurance, like I feel when I talk to, because I talk to my energy, right? Kundalini is and me, and she always reassures me, it's all good, you know, I'm healing you, it's fine, just rest. But yeah, it's very, very tough to go against the to swim against the stream, to
It
not,
is,
yeah,
yeah.
to not do what everyone else is doing.
I'm still learning how to do that. It's very difficult, very difficult. And it really helps to just be alone. Like right now, my parents are away, my family are away, so I have this time to just be on my own, and it's really helping me to heal. But if I was around them with them telling me that I need to hurry up and get a degree and things like that, it's very, very hard.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's our societal structure. It's all built on succeeding. And I feel it's these old paradigms that are slowly coming to an end. I think COVID has kind of pushed people to quit things forcefully that they mm-hmm. weren't happy with in the first place. It's hard yes. to come to terms with this, but this is really, really interesting. I also feel like I just want to be. I want to be more instead of doing.
Yes, I agree. This is something that I'm always feeling, that like there's this fighting against, you know, do I really have to live that way? You know, it's just not natural for me. It's a very difficult thing to be experiencing. And I go through that myself a lot now. I'm even thinking, you know, do I want to go do a degree, or, you know, what do I want to do with my life that's really aligned with my truth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's hard to not have a plan because everybody expects you to have a plan. And it just it's just not that way, especially when you're awakening. It's kind of, you have to become really comfortable with not knowing.
Yes, and just really trusting that, you know, if you follow your heart and you follow your intuition, you're going to be okay. It's the mind tells you, no, things are not going to be okay. I have to have a plan. I have to achieve all of these things. But when you're just connected to your heart and you're present and you're being, there's this feeling of safety in that, and this feeling that everything's okay. Really, there's this peace.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love this, especially we're moving towards full moons, so the heart energy gets stronger. I usually get very, very beautiful times when I can just be, and I'm not so much in the doing mode. But I can still see, even in my spiritual life, I still sometimes have the tendency to be doing things rather than just being. But it's the way we've grown up, so it takes a really long time to get that out.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So we're nearly coming to the end of the podcast. Maybe is there anything you want to share with the people who are listening?
Yes, I really want to share that it's really important to listen to your heart, listen to your inner voice, rather than what anyone else is telling you, because we're at a point in the world where things are really falling away, and it's really going to be hard for us if we don't go with the flow of what's happening and what's coming up, and see that we're being pushed to really face ourselves and the truth that lies within us. And we have the choice to choose our heart and to choose a new way of being, a way of flow, and a way where we're not doing, but we're just being, and we're living in harmony with ourselves. So I just feel like now is such a crucial time for us to really face anything that's unresolved in us and choose, if we feel called to choose a new way, the way of the heart.
Beautiful. That's very, very beautiful, Marie.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's all work that on that. This will come true. It's a big dream, but I think it's possible.
Yes, I agree. I think it really starts within. So even if we can't see the external world being how we want, it's about really connecting to that world within.
Yeah.
And just really being that yourself. Absolutely. Instead of expecting that everything is going to change outside of us.
Well, Gandhi said that already, you know, whatever you change within, that's going to move without. So, yeah, I think it's the only way, really.
Yes.
All right, Marie, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a really good motivator, and it was really, really lovely to finally talk to you in person.
Thank you. It was so much pleasure of mine, and it was really enlightening to talk to you.
Thank you so much. And have a beautiful day, and maybe one day you'll be back on the podcast. You never know.
Lovely. Yes, I would love to. Thank you. And I hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Marie.
Bye.